You know, one of the greatest challenges that many of us have as parents is helping our children grow up. And anybody who is involved in that process understand that great challenge. But go back down memory lane and think of the challenge that you had as a child growing up. Think about the mistakes, the insecurities, the pressures that you felt as a child. And going into teen years, it only gets worse. And kids, listen, it continues even when you become a young adult. And as you get older, there's still that challenge of growing up, becoming an adult, a responsible adult, trying to figure out life. And it's tough. It's even harder, it seems like, these days in our culture. But there's something else that's very important, that's learning how to grow up spiritually. You know, at some point physically, you become an adult, but from a physical standpoint, but for those who are believers, we're always in this process of growing up spiritually, maturing. And so I want to focus on that today. I want to talk about how important it is that we grow up spiritually. Now, our mission statement here at Linwood is to engage all people to experience Christ and equip them for life. Another way we could say that, this equipping aspect, is helping people build their lives. And so when I talk about this in our series, we're helping people as a result of knowing Christ through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and being born again, having a new life in Christ. What are the essential elements of building your life? Well, we began the series talking about celebrating life and the need to worship, how important it is to worship God. That's the foundation of what we're to be doing. And then last week, we talked about making the right connections, making the right connection with God first and foremost, making the right connection with people, with God's people, making the right connection with God's truth, and then making connection with God's purpose. And I want to build on that today as we think about growing up spiritually, maturing, because some of those same elements that we talked about last week play in this idea of growing spiritually. So I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I want to begin reading in verse 28. These are great words of encouragement that Paul gives us. And so let me begin reading Romans 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called, and those He called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Let me stop there. When he says, what do we say about these things? He's talking about the all things that he mentioned in verse 28. All things are working together, so what about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us all. How will we not also be with Him, how will He not also with Him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how is it now that we grow up spiritually? A few things I want to mention this morning. First of all, I want you to notice the path of spiritual growth. Paul helps us see how a person is able to grow. In verse 28, he says, we know that all things work together. Now, what are the all things that God uses to help us grow spiritually? Well, first of all, is God's Word. Psalm 119, 105, David writes, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path." We have immediate light that God gives us in the step that we're going to take. The very next step, God gives us light through His Word. But also in the big picture, we talk about life's direction. I get a focus on something down the road. My destiny, well, he says that it is a light on my path. Then Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Now, when he uses the word teach, think about that he's using the Word of God to teach us what is the right path. When he rebukes us, he's showing us what is the wrong path. When he corrects us, as Paul says, then we are learning how to get back on the right path. And when we use the Word of God to train, that it helps us stay on the right path. So it's important to see the Word of God helps us grow spiritually. That's the pathway that God uses. He also uses the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has different functions, as the Bible teaches us, particularly as Jesus taught. First of all, the Holy Spirit helps us. In John 16, 7, he says that the Holy Spirit is our counselor, or it can be translated comforter. Now, this word in the language of the New Testament, it's a word even today that we use, is the word paraclete. It's a compound word. Para means to come alongside. Clete is the word kaleo, which means to call out. So somebody is coming alongside to call out on my behalf. That word is often translated advocate. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. Think of the word paralegal. A paralegal is a person who comes alongside a lawyer. They are not a lawyer, but they come alongside a lawyer to do legal work to help them, to be an aid to them. And so you have the word paralegal. Well, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, has this same idea that he comes along next to us and is our advocate. He's calling out for us to God to give us the help, the comfort, all that we need. The Holy Spirit is very important in that role. He helps us. But the Holy Spirit also, as Jesus said, convicts us of sin, which ought to lead to confession of sin. So the Holy Spirit is to convict a person of sin. You know, it's not my job to be the Holy Spirit. Now, God will use us to encourage somebody when obviously they're in sin and we need to help them see that. But that's not my role. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts me of my sin, you of your sin, which then ought to lead us to agree with the Holy Spirit that, yes, that is sin. Now, that's confession, simply agreeing that that is what is happening in my life. And then the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says in John 16, guides us into all truth. Now, how does that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit concerning what the Word of God says when we read it. So the Holy Spirit will take the Word and will help you understand it. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word of God, bring it to light so that I'm able to understand it. And then I have the responsibility of applying the Word of God in my life. So God uses the Holy Spirit. God uses the Word of God to help us grow spiritually. He also uses circumstances. Now, there are positive circumstances that God will use us. These are what we often call open doors of opportunity. Good circumstances that God gives us to grow spiritually. But sometimes we don't understand the negative circumstances, the trials, the test, the trouble that comes our way. Now, these are not meant to hurt us. They're meant to help us grow spiritually. Now, that's important to remember, that when something bad happens in your life, God is not allowing that so that he can hurt you, but he's using that to help you to grow spiritually. David said in Psalm 119, he said, "It was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn of your statutes." Now, that's a great attitude to have in the midst of trouble. Now, often that's something that we say after we've gone through it. You know, it's hard to say, boy, this is a good thing I'm going through. Nobody wants to say that in the moment. In fact, if you're enjoying it, there's something wrong with you. But to say afterward, it was good that I was afflicted because I'm able to learn more about who you are, more about who I am, more about your word and what it means in my life. Paul said it like this in Romans 5. Affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces a proven character, and proven character produces hope. Now that's important because God is more important, is more concerned about who you are rather than what you are. He's more concerned about your character than he is about your career. Why? Because you can't take your career with you to heaven. You can take your character. That's what's going to last forever. Now, when all kinds of problems come into your life or my life, we often ask why. You know, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Well, this is not heaven. This is not the place of comfort. You know, think of how much time and energy and the resources that you have to try to create comfort in your life. You know, a lot of people struggle in life because they don't have, quote, comfort. And the focus of their life is comfort. Well, this is not going to happen. We might have moments of comfort, but life here on earth is not about comfort. It's about growing spiritually. It's about building character. And that character can only come through trouble. There's no other way to build character than when you are tested, when you go through it. Jesus went through many troubles and trials in his life, never more so than before the night he was crucified. And the question, knowing he was going to face a horrible death, is could he trust God? Could he follow God's plan? And that stress was so intense that Jesus said in Mark 14, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death." So he felt the trouble. He felt the trial. He knew that the test was coming. And how did he respond? "Father," he said, the next verse, "all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." So Jesus trusted God, and God used his circumstances to teach him to trust and to teach us to trust when we go through those times of testing, even when things look terrible. So circumstances are part of the path that God uses to grow us spiritually. And then finally, God uses people to help us grow spiritually. Now think of it in a positive way. There are mentors. There are examples. There are encouragers in your life. And I'm going to come back to this in a few moments. Maybe even now you can think of some that have been great encouragers to you, people who are positive in your life, positive people. But there are also negative people that we all experience in life. Now, these are people in life who hurt us intentionally or unintentionally. And that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us." Now, this is the tough one. Bearing the hurts produced by somebody else is a very hard thing to do. And to do that without responding in a negative way. Because it often means being misunderstood, being criticized, or being judged, facing emotional or even physical abuse. Now these are evil things. And God hates sin. But he didn't even protect his own son from facing these very things. Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was criticized. Jesus was falsely judged. Jesus faced emotional stress. He was even physically abused. So what does that mean? Hey, we don't get off the hook. We're going to face the same thing. If the Lord Jesus faced it, then we're going to face that. And Jesus said in Matthew 27, the Bible says, "Those who passed by were yelling insults at him. In the same way the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him. In the same way even the criminals who were crucified with him kept taunting him." And what was his response? Notice, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing." You know, if most people understood what they're really doing, they would never do what they're doing. They just don't know what they're doing. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that, you know, they probably don't even realize what they're saying or what they're doing. If they really knew what they're doing or saying, they would never do that or say that. So that's why we need to forgive them. Peter writes this, when reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but entrusted him to him who judges righteously or justly. So you're going to be hurt often in life. And it's important that we grow spiritually by forgiving. And you can't forgive unless somebody hurts you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is concerning the life of Joseph and how he dealt with this. If you remember, Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was one of those sons. And these became the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, in the earlier years, the brothers became jealous of Joseph, so much so that they sold him into slavery, told their father that they killed him, or that he was killed by an animal. Sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt. He becomes number two command under Pharaoh over the whole land of Egypt. And to make a long story short, God designs it so that that Jacob and his sons come to Egypt. And there's this encounter where Joseph reveals himself as the brother. And here's what he says in Genesis 50, verse 20. You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many. That's exactly what Paul means when he says, all things work together for good. It seems evil now. It seems bad now. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It hurts. It's painful. But God is at work, working it all together for your good. So, God's Word, His Holy Spirit, circumstances, and people are experiences on the path of growing up spiritually. Notice, secondly, the purpose of spiritual growth. Well, several things. First of all, to experience Christ's likeness. In verse 29, he says, to be conformed to the image of His Son. To be Christ-like. Let me help you with this. Sometimes we have a hard time determining, am I like Christ? Am I becoming more and more like Christ? Am I a Christ-like person? Well, the proof of that is the way that you respond to how you're facing trials and tests in your life. How did Jesus respond to those trials and tests? How am I responding to those trials and tests? Ask yourself right now. In the test that I'm in right now, the trouble that I've experienced, maybe recently, how did I respond to that? How am I responding? And that'll be a good barometer to determine how well you're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Another purpose of spiritual growth is to experience God's plan. Notice what he says in verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, another way of saying that, what is God's plan for your life? To know him, to serve him, and to spend eternity with him. That means I'm serving him by enduring to the very end so that I can spend eternity with him. That's God's plan. Then he also wants you to experience his favor. Now, notice what this is really important. In fact, these next three statements I'm going to make may be the most important thing that you need to hear today. Think about it. God wants you to experience His favor. First of all, He is for you. He is for you. Verse 31, if God is for us, who is against us? Now, again, we often see people as the enemy. But they're not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. The people are the tool that he's using to try to get to you in some way. So God's not against you. God is for you. And for somebody today, that may be the most important thing you need to hear, that God is for you. Secondly, he will equip you. God is going to equip you with everything that you need. Verse 32, He will grant us everything. It doesn't mean He's going to grant us all possessions that we want. He's going to grant you everything that you need in this life so that you'll be equipped for life, that you'll have the tools necessary to build your life, all right? He will equip you. So if He's called you, He is going to equip you. Then third, He is always with you. Verse 35 and then 39, nothing is going to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And He gives this whole list of things that we're going to face in life. None of those things have the power to undo what God has done. If God has chosen you into a relationship with Him by placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, nothing's going to change that. Nothing. No circumstance, no person in this life can do anything. Satan himself does not have the power to undo what God has done. So He is always with you. There is never a moment that He is not with you if you're in Christ. Now notice also, the purpose of spiritual growth is to experience God's power. Verse 37, in all these things, we are more than victorious through Him who loved us. God wants you to experience a victorious life. It doesn't mean that everything that happens in life is good. How do you experience victory? Overcoming something that's bad. Overcoming something that's hard or difficult. So whenever we talk about, and we sometimes flippantly talk about living a conquering life, a victorious life, well, that's not an easy path. That doesn't come easily. It comes through the trouble and the suffering of life. But the promise is that we can be victorious. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So finally, I want you to notice the person of spiritual growth. Who is it that grows spiritually? Not everybody grows spiritually. Notice he says, only those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. That's verse 28. The actual Greek rendering of that, the way it's written in the text, really is just the opposite. He begins it by saying, to the ones who are loving God, these things are going to happen. Paul wants to make sure that the readers understand who it is that's going to experience God's favor, God's blessing. That who is it that's going to experience God working everything for good? He begins by saying, to the ones who are loving, not loved Him in the past, but who are currently loving. And then he qualifies that statement at the end, those who are called according to His purpose. So he really brings in the focus, doesn't he, on those who are going to experience God's favor. So in light of that, I want us to kind of draw this home for a minute. And I want to give you some assignments as you think about a way to respond to God's message today. First of all, I want you to consider your all things. I want you to consider your all things. Let's start out with the positive. Take some time today, or this week in your devotional time, to make a list of the positive things that God has done and is doing in your life right now. What have you recently experienced where you can say, this is a good thing, this is a positive thing that God has done? You know, in Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, he says that the vast majority, those companies who became great, those companies spend the vast majority of their time and resources and energies on the things that are strengths in their company, not on the things that are weaknesses in their company. That's why they're great companies. I thought it was a great insight, and I think it's true of our lives personally. We get so focused on the negative. In a marriage, how easy is it to focus on the negative in a person's life? And when that is vocalized, you're going to find that the person is going to become, your mate, is going to become very demotivated. They're not going to want to do what they need to do if you're focusing on their weakness. But when you focus on their strengths, man, good things happen. And your child, are you focusing on the negative things or on the positive things? And in these companies, These employers have learned, the owners of the company have learned, in order to have a great company, we need to build on our strengths. We talk about building our lives. Well, God has done a great work in your life, and he wants to build on what he has done, not focusing on what you think he hasn't done, or beating yourself up about how bad a person you are, how insecure a person you are, or how insufficient you think you are in life. He really wants you to drill down on the strength. So stop focusing on the negative. Focus on the positive. What is God doing? What are the blessings that God has given me? And I promise you, it's going to change your attitude. It'll change your outlook on life. It'll change the people that you're in relationship with if you begin to do that. I think God will really bless that. But the reality is we also have negative circumstances in our life, and we have to consider those as well. Here's what I want you to do. Ask God to help you respond wisely, redemptively, and in a Christ-like way. Remember, how do I know I'm becoming more like Christ? As I said earlier, it's the way I respond. So ask God to help you respond wisely, redemptively. Ask him for wisdom. Try to bring something good out of what it is you're facing. Now, God will do the work, but you've got to work with him in doing that. So ask him to help you respond that way. Also, ask God to help you learn and grow from this negative experience. Put the brakes on your feelings. Stop where you are. And either now or again this week, ask God to help you learn and to grow from the negative experience that you're facing. Then do this. Thank God for the work he is doing. All things work together for good. God is at work. So thank him for the work he is doing for your good, but ultimately for his glory. Now here are a couple of questions I want you to ask as well in light of the passage. Do you love God? Let me say it another way. Are you loving God? To the ones loving God, do you love him? That doesn't mean intellectually, oh yeah, I love God. Is that your life? Now, that's the mark of a believer. It's not the one who just makes a statement. It's the one who's living it out. So, are you connected with God, as I mentioned last Sunday? Do you have a personal relationship? You know about him, but do you really know him? And today, you can know him. You can love God by responding to the invitation that he is offering you to enter into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. You might be not sure how to do that. Well, you can, even in just a few moments, respond by connecting with us and letting us know that you have that desire to know God, and we'll help you do that. Let me ask you another question. Are you following his purpose? Are you loving him, but are you following his purpose? Or is it your purpose for your life? He says, now, if you want God to work things out for good, it's for those who are called according to his purpose. You're following his purpose. And then, finally, are you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ? And again, ask yourself, how did I respond to that situation? Is that the way Jesus would have done that? I don't think so. Or, you know, I think that's probably what he would have said or what he would have done. In fact, here's an example of it in God's word. Ask somebody who's close to you. Do you sense that I'm responding to this circumstance the way Christ would? Or is it the way I feel like I need to? Is it my flesh? Is it me? Or is it Christ? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you to think about these questions. I want you to think about what you need to do. You need to pause and consider the positive things that are going on. Make a list. Begin doing that this week. But think about the negative circumstances that you're facing. If you want to know God, right now, you make that connection with us. Whether you're watching us through our website or you're watching us on Facebook, then you connect with us and our staff will be willing and ready to respond to you. Maybe some of you know the Lord, but boy, you're just really struggling with the circumstance you're facing, whatever that source of hurt is. Ask the Lord to help you. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us. We can't do this in our strength, in our power, but we can through the power, the strength of the Lord Jesus. So ask Him to help you. There might be some who want to become members of our church family. You know, recently we've had two families unite with our church. Though we've not been able to meet together, they've indicated they want to be a member of our church. So if you would like to do that, you let us know, and we'll get back with you concerning that. Allow the Lord to help you right now. Reach out to Him. He's for you. He's not against you. And let's worship Him in this time of response.